All right, and we are finally doing the podcast that we've always talked about. What's up, Thomas?
What's going on? It's your fault.
What took so goddamn long?
I've been waiting for you, Stan.
Me, it's my fault.
Okay. Anybody who knows both of us probably will agree that you're usually the one dragging your feet.
Is that right?
I'm punctual.
Is that right?
Sometimes. Right. Sometimes. If I don't have anything else to do, I'm punctual.
Well, I'm glad you're here in my dining room studio. We finally made it. And I dragged you, kicking and screaming. And I know I'm taking food out of your baby's mouths, and you've got Bentleys and Ferraris to sell.
But now I have a dog to pet, so it's okay.
Hey, Bella. She's our shop dog. So we're going to talk about what? Car Week right now?
Car Week.
Car Week is exciting. How many times have you been to Monterey?
A million. My really? My fascination with Vijay Mallya from Force India, who's my new, like...
Okay.
Obsession.
All right. What's that got to do with Car Week?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about as well. Doesn't have anything to do with Car Week.
Okay. How many times have you been to Car Week?
12.
Describe Car Week to people that don't know. So this is Car Week is the general term for the Concours d'Elegance at Pebble Beach.
The whole week.
There's Quail, which is a show within the show. There is
the
Laguna
Seca.
The
actual Pebble show.
Right, the actual Pebble show. There's Laguna Seca, where they run these vintage cars.
Exotics on Cannery Row.
Exotics on Cannery
Row.
Out,
shout out Amy Shackelford.
For sure, and Ramin. And like, as far as Laguna Seca and the races go, this is
that's one
$30 million
really
dollar cars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like $30 million cars, like one of one. If you crash it, nobody in the world has parts for it, and they race them.
Didn't a guy crash an original Shelby Cobra like a few years ago?
A guy crashed a 250 GTO
a
couple years ago. That's a $30 million car.
That's really the most baller thing you could ever do, right?
Kind of is, right? I mean, I'm sure it's insured.
But it doesn't
matter. I'm sure it's insured, but that's where you get these gigantic cojones. And look,
I feel like such
like,
a nerd, but that makes me, like, if I saw that, I feel like I would feel ill. Like, literally would feel ill.
Like, it actually hurts you in your stomach
yeah.
and you, like, you get nauseous.
Yeah.
I agree.
Guy would hop out and be like, it's cool, I'm a trillionaire. But I'd be
or,
like...
Well, but here's the worst thing. Not all the time are the owners driving them. Sometimes it's a gentleman driver or like a journalist or some shit like that.
Damn. I would feel
Could
so
Could you imagine
bad.
You're a journalist, you drive a Camry to work, somebody lets you drive their, let's go middle of the road, call it a, I don't know, Ferrari 512 TM? Is it TM? The early Testarossa.
What an idiot if you crash that, though.
Could
Why
you,
would
you
be...
Could you
imagine?
Well,
could you part imagine? Of me thinks, like, that's probably not the time to push. And then part of me thinks, like, if someone was like, hey, drive my McLaren F1, I would think, I don't know if I'm going to get this chance again. Let's see what this thing can do, you know?
On the straights.
Because I don't have, you know, $8 million to replace
right.
it. So mine is, I mean,
right.
what, you know?
Well, and the other thing is a lot of these guys run on... Original suspension, original brakes, like borderline.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Bias ply tires. Like, these cars were originally designed to slide. They don't grip like modern tires do.
Right.
So,
but wouldn't you think anybody that could
that?
Drive that would know that?
I want to say yes, but how many times have you seen crashes at Goodwood, crashes at Laguna Seca? You know what I'm saying?
There was somebody at Thermal
yeah.
that had a Maserati and the brakes were
done. Maserati what?
Gran Turismo. The brakes.
So that's a touring car for girls.
Correct.
So why you
they
took that on track?
That, you're sexist. I wouldn't say that.
a,
I would
it's
say it's
car.
A touring car.
I own a Boxster, and a Boxster's a girl's car. I admit it.
It's perfect for you. So the brakes were mush coming around that last turn before the long straightaway.
Okay.
And then the guy decided maybe the brakes will come back. I'm just going to let this thing really go crazy.
See, that's
and
operator
it,
error.
And then threw it in the wall, but... You know, I guess it's like that. You would think if the brakes are mush, maybe like take the next few turns a little gently and see, right?
Yeah, brakes don't come back like that. You need, well, the thing to
well,
do.
Well, definitely
if the
not going
to
come back in 3 seconds.
Right. You need a couple of laps of just cruising.
Right.
And you don't want to stop it because if you stop it, it'll overheat one
you
side of
the
rotor.
But that's what I'm saying. This
over.
Person
yeah,
thought,
no
let's give it a whirl. So
what's thermal? People don't know. What's thermal?
A racetrack in Palm Springs.
It's more than that.
A racetrack with. Mansions lining it in Palm Springs where people fly in on their jets and helicopters.
Right, it's the automotive equivalent of a private golf course.
Correct.
It's not open to the public.
Correct.
There's different orientations. There's a restaurant. There's a Lotus dealership, I think.
Really?
Yeah, Mike Sage has a Lotus dealership there.
I don't know about that.
The homes are worth between 2 and 5 mil.
Yeah.
And there's a the garage underneath your house is like the garage every car guy ever wanted.
It's pretty cool, I'll be
honest.
And
it's literally like the, your backyard is the racetrack. So like you can sit on your balcony sipping espressos watching guys go around.
It's pretty rad.
It's pretty awesome. It's in Palm Springs around all the golf courses. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere outside of Palm Springs. The city's actually called Thermal. And it's
which not a great name for a city, by the way.
No,
especially
because
it's
hot.
So hot out there.
That's appropriate.
You know, they should have named it like something more soothing. You know?
It might as well be called Swamp Ass.
Yeah.
Like, it's just
that's
hot.
What I'm saying. They should have called it like something very like comforting. Yes.
Like, the only thing out there are cows, horses, and date trees.
Yeah, those weird palm trees where they like
dates.
Harvest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird.
And where else do you, what else do you think of when you think of date trees? Like the Middle East.
I don't think of date trees.
It's like 130 degrees.
Yeah.
Well, dates, when I think of dates, I think of Middle East.
Really?
Guys in Rolls Royces driving through a desert eating dates. That's what I think of.
Wow, that is not at all.
Really?
No, not at all. I don't even eat dates. I don't even know. It's like a gross plum or something. Like a nasty little weird fruit thing.
It's delicious. Stop it.
Well, more dates for you.
Yes.
So anyway, so yeah, I'm excited for Car Week.
So Car Week is...
Even if it's kind of the same thing every year, but...
So Car Week, there's different aspects to Car Week that I'm excited about. There's the unveiling of new and exciting things that always happens.
At Quail.
Yes. So there'll be like...
And kind of like little spots around.
Yeah.
So the hardest thing with Car Week though is like... Like if you don't like, if you're not on like list of things, it can really make you feel crappy. You know, like there's years I've gone like...
Oh yeah.
When I was younger and they're like, oh, inside here's a new Phantom. You're like, can I come in? They're like, you can absolutely not. You can Google it. You're like, all right, this is not that much fun.
It's for insiders.
Yeah.
It's for real people. Like the, it's one of the, what, two of the biggest auctions of the year worldwide.
Those auctions are crazy. Those auctions are really fun.
Amelia Island and Quail.
Yeah.
Not Quail, Pebble Beach.
But Pebble, I think, is bigger.
That's the thing. Like, when you break records, it's at Pebble.
There's some crazy, it's cool to watch guys, like, raise their little hand. And
little
like,
hand? That's patronizing as
well. Well, I was going to say that little thingy, you know, but.
Paddle.
Yeah, but it's not really, but like...
It's called a paddle.
All right. But it's just cool to watch those guys compete, like, you know? They're like, 12 million, 12.5, 13. You're like, holy moly.
And then when they're like, I want it, 20.
Yeah.
I was watching live.
It's nuts. It gives me anxiety.
I was watching live a auction. I think it was a Pebble. It was a guy who was building a museum, basically. He was buying a collection from a museum, and it's all, like, one-of-ones.
Mm.
Chryslers and Fords and stuff they made for a car show, but it was a working car in, like, the 60s and 50s.
Not that exciting.
Well, no, he had Ferraris and Lambos and Bugattis also, but, and this was probably 10 years ago, and so it's the thing that you always watch these auctions for, two guys, basically, toe-to-toe, and the auctioneer's just going, 10 million, 15 million, 20 million, right? And the guy literally goes, dude, it's not my money. Let's keep going. Like, I will not stop.
I love that. There's like a part of me that loves that, right?
He's like, I have no ceiling. Let's go.
It's like, we could, I mean.
I love that. And then you get and then you get the stupid stuff. You get like, what was it, the 23-window Volkswagen buses? That weren't worth anything, and then some Hong Kong guy bought two of them for $100,000 each, and the next year, it was just nothing but buses because
everybody,
set the market.
I can't think of a less exciting car to relate to Car Week than Volkswagen buses. I don't care if they're worth $1 billion one day. Those are the goofiest.
They're kind of cool.
There's nothing cool about those
things. If you are... into like
California donor
beach
who
culture.
Needs to put his surfboards and like then that's in Venice Beach.
Sure,
it probably is like pulling up in a Bugatti most places.
That's what I'm saying.
Does nothing for me.
You've got
does
a grill
nothing.
Inside. You can
the
smoke.
The only
you can
cool
sleep.
One, the only cool Volkswagen bus. There was a guy that had put like a big crate motor in the back at like old cars and coffee.
Usually,
so nobody could
or
sit
a Porsche.
In it. But it there's no way you could use any of that power with like those little tires and just
no.
weird.
No,
but. I thought it was kind of cool.
See, with a Volkswagen bus...
There's nothing less cool than a Volkswagen bus.
I think original...
I'd rather pull up in like a electric Fiat.
But what's cool about that?
Nothing.
That's
but
practical.
At least it's practical.
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
Volkswagen bus is just dumb.
Okay, let me ask you this question. So we've established that some things are cool in concept and some things are cool in reality.
Volkswagen bus is cool
in
neither,
concept
neither
to some
world.
People. But listen.
No, it's not.
So Lamborghini...
Is that even big enough to actually
Lamborghini
fit stuff in?
Lamborghini just unveiled the lap time for the Aventador
SV. Oh, nice segue.
SV.
Nice segue.
Is it Jarta? Genta?
Jota.
Jota.
Whatever. Like any Lamborghini, nobody will really know how to pronounce it.
Exactly. So it's an SVJ.
Yeah.
It's the Aventador. It's the SV Plus, basically.
It's the SSV.
Sure.
No, that's what it is. It's the S, Aventador, Aventador S, and then this is the SV of the S.
Then what does Jota mean?
They just kind of tagged that on there because it's a cool old, but it's, if you look at it, like they made the Aventador and then they made the SV. And then they came out with the S, which is a whole nother car. Won't even get into that.
Okay.
Which is not a whole nother car, but is a whole nother issue, I should say. And then they came out the SV of that, which nobody thought we would get this far because typically the SV's at the end.
Yeah, it's usually the pinnacle.
So then when they were like, oh, there's another regular one, and then there's a special one of that one.
Yeah.
It just, it's bizarre to me, but not necessarily any more bizarre than anything that they do, but it's
so
bizarre.
My question to you, do you care in any way whatsoever that Lamborghini is posting Nürburgring lap times and breaking records? Like, okay, so they beat...
Do I care?
So let me kind of lay it out. They beat the Porsche GT2 RS.
Correct.
Which is the fastest, most powerful Porsche ever. It's faster than the Carrera GT. It's faster than the 918 Spyder. It's the most powerful 911 ever sold, ever, ever, ever.
Right.
For Porsche that has a Cup Series, that has probably the most cars in racing, not including freaking Specchiato, that kind of thing, that is, like, legit for motorsports people. I understand why Nürburgring lap times matter. Mm-hmm. Why does it matter for Lamborghini customers, owners, or brand?
Well, the other thing I was thinking is interesting. Ferrari basically has bowed out of the Nürburgring thing a long time ago. It's
right.
Been Lambo and Porsche kind of trading back and forth, right?
Right, because the earlier one is the Huracan.
Performante,
yeah.
And then the 918. And
right.
So, I don't know. I think it's all kind of dumb. I wish they would go back to trying to set the top speed record. That
why
was pretty
does that
cool.
Matter?
Doesn't.
Well, also, you know why they can't, right?
Doesn't really matter. Because nobody has a test track other than Volkswagen.
Well, Volkswagen has that.
But they're not going to let Ferrari use it.
Loop, right.
Aralessian.
Right. The problem is that it's what we see. Like, you know guys that have twin turbo Huracans that go
mm-hmm.
to the half mile races.
Mm-hmm.
Mile races,
mm-hmm.
right? With like 3,000 horsepower, underground racing. The problem is that once you get past like 250, 260, 270... You need to almost double your horsepower to
I know.
Get another 10 miles per hour. But
that's
wait,
not my problem.
But wait, you also need to double your cooling.
Right.
Which means you need to let more air in, which is a parachute. That's why there's no street cars that run 300 miles an hour. It's not tires. Theoretically, the tire companies can make it. You just can't have enough horsepower to break through the wind and actually cool your engine. That's the problem.
That's what they should fix that. That's the
there's
stuff.
No fixing it. It's
they should innovate.
No,
they could break. They said you could never run a 4-minute mile. Roger Bannister did it. They said it was scientifically impossible.
Okay, fine. So
you're telling me the budget of like Lambo or you know any of these huge manufacturers they can't figure that
Volkswagen
out.
Volkswagen Group is the single biggest manufacturer on the planet.
I know
right?
It's rhetorical. I know that's what they could.
Bugatti
for sure they
couldn't
could.
Do it, and Bugatti was
well,
designed for it.
I just feel like I don't know. That was cool. Like the first car to crack 200, and then all that stuff
sure,
was cool.
Sure, but is it relevant now?
I just think it's hilarious. Like
the
you know that
Bugatti's ugly. The Veyron was. I like.
Of course,
the
Veyron's ugly. But you know, like the Valkyrie Aston. Have you seen how you get into it? It's like the cockpit of a Le Mans car.
Yes.
And I'm not trying to take shots at like the body compositions of rich guys, but
yeah.
There's gonna be some people that are gonna have very. I mean, if you had what's that guy in Ocean's 11, the amazing Yin.
Right, right.
That guy would
the contortionist.
That guy would struggle to get into that car.
True
right?
Story.
So it's like I just
but that was Adrian Newey.
So my point
blah,
is
blah,
like there's
and,
cool things, but if you can't use them, same thing with the Nürburgring cars. I mean
No.
Nobody can actually do that with them, so it's kinda like what's the point? You know what I mean?
No, you're missing my point.
One, no one's gonna track them, and if they could, they can't do that. So it's
you're missing my point.
It's like me buying a samurai sword. It's like, aren't I scary? It's like you don't know how to use a samurai sword, so not really.
Okay, I get your point. I don't think you understand my point.
Because it's very logical, my point.
It is. My point isn't whether or not a typical Ferrari buyer can post a or a lap time the way a pro driver can. I'm not expecting them to. That's not reasonable. I'm not even saying that they're going to go over 65 miles an hour on the freeway. That's not what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is Formula One is relevant for Ferrari. Nürburgring is relevant for Porsche. Green, well, Le Mans, green, purple, yellow, shooting flames, matte black, big wheels, loud exhaust is relevant for Lamborghini.
Right.
Lamborghini owners, typically, there are certainly exceptions, typically are more showy, are more gaudy. They're either young Asian kids that just want to shoot flames, right?
Sometimes. Here's, I got a question for you.
Okay.
I got a great question for you.
Okay, go on.
How much, all the money that Lambo spent to do all the Nürburgring stuff and to close the ring and to the drivers.
Yeah.
Add all that to all the R&D that they did on this SVJ, right?
Yeah.
And whatever amount that is, substantial, right? Versus, instead of doing all that to set this Nürburgring time, what if they just taken all that money, figured out how to retrofit a dual clutch into an Aventador and release that?
Oh, way better. Way better. Would have been an actually good car to drive.
So there's that.
Yeah, because a single...
So that's my point. Is it cool? Yeah, yeah, but could it have been the resources and the money been used better?
We're talking about marketing.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But if you actually threw someone in an Aventador with a double clutch, they'd be like, I'll buy this right now. But you're like, hey, man, this car went around a track in Germany you're never going to go to that you could never drive this well on. But... it's cool, and you can impress your friends. You can get a bumper sticker that says 644.
Yeah, but a dual clutch isn't going to impress your friends either.
Yeah, it is. That car would be amazing.
A dual clutch.
More importantly, it's going to be good for you to drive. That car is going to be hard to drive.
All right, let me take
you. I mean, that car is going to be rough.
Let me take you down another road. You ready?
I don't know.
It's related.
Go.
When I think of supercars, hypercars, when I think of exotic cars, easy to drive, livable, comfortable, is not what I think about. In
yeah,
fact,
but you're being too like hardcore car guy.
In fact, I think when Volkswagen Group bought Lamborghini, and when Fiat got involved with Ferrari, and they became, by all accounts, better cars, they were worse exotics.
That's a very like romantic idea that we're all like Formula One drivers, like going trying to like slide around corners and stuff.
No, but it's not performance. I'm saying like. You know the whole story of...
It's cool that they're dangerous, of course.
Not just dangerous, but quirky. Like, in order to back up a Countach...
Right.
Right, this was discovered by valet drivers in Beverly Hills. You gotta sit on the outside of the car, on the sill, hang your body outside, operate the clutch with your left foot, but... Or is it right foot?
But here's your logic.
Right.
Here's your logic, Stan.
And then that story's cool.
Okay.
And if you're a Countach owner, you're like, oh yeah, this is the way you back up this car, because it's got no back window, and you can't see anything, it's wider than a Hummer. So... my point to you is, a dual clutch for an Aventador is less relevant than a Nürburgring lap time, but is a Nürburgring lap time more relevant than shooting flames?
Your logic is basically like, you'd rather date a supermodel that was a diva and had a horrible attitude because that makes her fun and quirky. I'd much rather just take the one that was just nice. Yours will get drunk at dinner and throw things, and you're like, oh, it's fun, it's quirky. Like not being able to reverse a Countach.
I mean, a
and mine, mine will just sit there and be polite. I'm fine with that.
A little bit.
No necesito loca.
We look at. See,
I mean, you want a car you can't back up. That's fun to you. That's quirky.
Okay, using your
analogy. Do you realize how stupid that is?
Okay, let's put it this way. Okay, okay.
And then Stan's Countach gets its clutch burnt out, and then Stan's at Lamborghini Beverly Hills service department.
Presumably,
can and they're like, you can afford it. I could punch you in the stomach right now, and you won't die. But do you want me to? You could replace a $30,000 clutch, but
wait for it. Wait.
Do you really want to do that?
Wait. You ready?
Yeah.
If by some weird situation or circumstance in a different life, I start dating a supermodel, a Latin, call her Brazilian.
Like, what's her name? Sofia Vergara.
Absolutely. And she ends up being like quiet, like typical housewife at home, I'll be disappointed.
That makes one of us.
Like, I want fiery. I want like throwing shit. Right? Because. Do you know what I mean?
I just think.
Let's put it this way. If I'm dating a porn star, she better do some tricks in bed. Because if she's a missionary-style porn star in bed, and she's like, I saved the tricks for the cameras are rolling,
that's different.
I'm disappointed.
That's more like equivalent of driving a car.
No, that's equivalent to a Lamborghini.
But I'm just saying, you want the girl that can keep composed at dinner, and you want the car that you could back up without burning.
I'm not going to invite a crazy fun girl to a night out with my parents, but if you and I are going to a bar and she's a little loca la cabeza... I'm okay
with
that.
That's different.
As long as, you know, you're like...
That's different than your Lambo analogy about it's cool because you can't back it up.
No, I'm saying...
That sounds
character.
Exhausting.
Do you remember Jeremy Clarkson when they did the review?
And your brakes lock up when you're only going 20 miles an hour and you skid into like a, you
that's
know...
That's true. Do you remember when Top Gear was doing the review of the Panamera, the Quattroporte, and there was a third car, I forget what it was. I guess it wasn't relevant.
Can't remember.
No, it was the Aston Martin four-door. What was that called? The Rapide.
Rapide.
Okay. And Jeremy Clarkson...
I've sat in the back of one of those. Not a great time.
Not really.
No. Not a great time.
So, Jeremy Clarkson said it best. He said, the Quattroporte is like a two-year-old child. You're not always happy about it. Sometimes it drives you crazy, but if somebody tries to take it away from you, you kill them.
Really? I would happily give away a Quattroporte.
You're missing the point. That's what character has. That's what quirky is. That's what Porsche is missing. That's what BMW is missing. That's what Mercedes is missing.
Having a Quattroporte is like having the Melendez brothers as your kids. Like, I would give them away.
You're using the example of literally two kids that killed their parents.
Yeah.
Was it Menendez?
That's how much... Yeah. Menendez?
Was, yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, Car Week.
Yes, Car Week. What are you excited about seeing at Car Week? Are you going?
Yeah, I'm gonna go. But what's really
so
crazy?
So Singer's $1.8 million. What is it called? Car called? Is it
don't
the Evolution?
Know. Doesn't do much for me.
Really?
I like them, but
I'm
I don't.
A fan of Singer. Okay.
I mean, the fun stuff to see there is like the crazy stuff.
Koenigsegg, Pagani.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. There's nothing really coming out that I can think of that's like crazy. You know?
Well, there's some stuff you don't know about because it's not out yet.
Well, but like what could Lambo, even if Lambo has an SVJ, even if Ferrari has like a Pista, even if, you know.
No, those aren't exciting.
Well, that's what
no,
I'm saying.
No, it's got to be like when
the crazy, the thing that drives me the most nuts, it was a Lamborghini brings these like stupid cars they're never going to make. Like remember the one with the jet fighter cockpit?
Yeah.
Stuff like that, I'm just like.
It looked like
what
a
are you
stealth fighter.
Doing, you know?
Yeah. But isn't that what the
or that crazy
Sesto Lamento was based on?
Stuff like that. It's like, oh, God.
Sesto Lamento's cool. I mean, sometimes they just do it to
I know,
start a
but
discussion.
It's just like, oh, God. It's just annoying.
What about when McLaren came out with that, like, one-of-one car they built? See, like, when manufacturers build cars just for really wealthy clients. Like, Ferrari just came out.
I don't like it.
What's that
chick? Like, that Sweptail Rolls.
Sweptail Rolls.
Stupid.
Actually, it looks kind of goofy.
Stupid.
McLaren did that. Ferrari keeps doing that. They did one for that musician.
Eric Clapton
had a car made.
Stupid.
The best one, I think, is still Jim Glickenhaus's P45.
Yeah, but he did that.
True.
No, but I like the coolest car. You know what's really cool? Like, when I was there 2 years ago, they had, like, McLaren had, like, their Can-Am cars.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. That's
car.
Rad.
Yeah.
Like, a McLaren F1, no matter how many times I've seen it, which is not a lot...
It's
but I still am like, oh, wow, like, how
so
cool
small.
Is that?
It's awesome. It's my favorite car. Ever.
It's awesome. Stuff yeah. like that, the old stuff's kind of cooler than the new stuff. And the problem is a lot of those shows is, like, the same people. It's like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it's like, it sounds jaded, but I don't get that excited to see, like, a Murcielago, much less 10 of them. It's just not, it's like, you know, it sounds very like we're spoiled because we are here, you know?
True.
But it just doesn't.
No, I think that speaks to something really important. I think
the auction cars are cool. When there's like a crazy like 250 GTO that some like Italian race driver died in and they rebuilt it. There's something
yeah.
about that.
Yeah,
or like
yeah.
a Senna F1 car.
History.
You're like, wow, that's amazing.
History and context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seeing a hunk of metal is like...
I agree.
It's cool, you know?
Who was it that said it? It's about boxing. It's fighting styles make the fight.
Yeah.
Like... It's not just about the technicality of it.
Right.
It's the history, the context. Like, why did this happen? Like, when you go to a car show and people are gathered around a car and you're like, I don't get it. What's the big deal about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you learn, well, this happened and this happened. And there were, like, drug money and the guy went to jail. And then,
I love
like,
those stories.
Half the car is
there
built
was those
out of
brothers
paper
mache. That, yeah, there was those brothers that did those, like, what, 935s? And it was all, like, drug money.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking
yes,
about? I can't
yes.
think of the name.
They raced the Porsche 935s. It was all allegedly drug money. Or Peter Brock. Is it Brock?
And then there was that guy, do you see a show on Netflix?
Or is it Brickle?
Dirty Money, where the guy like had the race team that was funded by this like sketchy Ponzi scheme company that he had.
I bet you it happens a lot in motorsports.
It does happen a lot. Segway.
Okay.
Segway. Segway.
You're not supposed to announce the segue.
I'm so good, I catch your...
Go.
Your fastball's on the mill.
You want to talk about motorsports now?
I want to talk about my new obsession with Vijay Mallya.
Vijay Mallya, okay.
So check this guy out. Like, this is a picture of him. To me, he looks like an Indian...
He looks like a Bollywood star.
A James Bond bad guy if James Bond took place in India.
In a Bollywood movie.
Yeah. So like here's the thing. Yeah. Here's something you need to know. Like, he has a case today in London for his, like, extradition. Okay, so background.
Right. Who is he and why does it matter?
So Vijay Malaya came from, like, his dad had money. This guy has so much money that, like, I was reading something in court, and they were saying the court, they're asking loans to be repaid. They're, like, $1.5 billion. Billion with a B and a half. And the attorneys were like, look, we've, like, looked into the money he has all over the world. Like, this isn't even going to hurt this guy. Like, $1.5 billion isn't even going to ding this guy. Like, he's not even going to notice.
Guys
so
that
just pay back the money.
Get rid of it.
Well, I know.
Lose it.
I know.
It's a pride thing.
Well.
But go on.
$1.5 billion is not a big deal. But a Lamborghini. Anyway. So that's kind of the level of money this guy has, right?
Okay.
So he bought a Formula One team. He bought Force India from, who owned it at that time? I can't remember who. I think he bought it from, like, Caterham, but it had been originally, what's his name? Jordan. It was Eddie Jordan's team, and then, like, got bought and sold and bought and sold. He bought it maybe, like, 2006 or something.
Eddie Jordan's a goofball, but go on.
Eddie Jordan's a goofball, but Eddie Jordan looked like a lot of fun.
True.
But in any event, so was this guy. This guy was known for, like, I remember I was reading something and they were talking about, like, the yacht parties in Monaco, like, who had the hot party, and they're like, Force India has the best party. And Force India, if I could pick between, like, a yacht party, like, with, like, McLaren, Ferrari, and Force India wouldn't be my top choice.
No.
But
because of the association.
But apparently, and then once you read,
dude,
and there's, like, YouTube videos, and you're like, oh, wow.
Is everybody bottomless?
I don't know. I haven't gone, but hopefully. But
I've heard that happens, but that might have been a Sacha Baron Cohen movie.
So this guy would just have crazy parties. He just looked like the most fun, and he owned an airline that went out of business, and that's what got him in trouble. But so anyway, so he's on the way out, it looks like, because
so he currently owns Force India,
but he's currently
they're trying to
he doesn't want to back out. Like, the government is saying, like, we're taking this away from you. And
okay.
He left India because he owed a bunch of money to a bunch of people.
Okay.
So he's been living in London, and he's in court today, and they're talking about sending him to jail in India. So this guy went from, like, owning a Formula One team that's going on right now.
Damn.
But so this guy goes from owning a Formula One team, like, being a baller in London, to maybe going to jail in India. What a week. And
that's,
you thought you had a tough week.
Right, true story. That's,
so,
that sounds like a typical story for some people.
So anyway, it's pretty crazy. And it does seem, to your point, like, there is a, for whatever reason, seems like if you get a bunch of dirty money, going racing just, like, seems to happen a lot.
It's,
like,
sexy.
Yeah.
Like, even though I'm not sure it's still true because sponsors and TV have ruined it, there's a romance to Formula One. 100%. It used to be more manly. It used to be more competitive between the guys. Like, I miss...
They party on yachts in Monaco. That's all you need to know, right? And they're the rock stars. That's all you need to know.
Right. Now they're the rock stars.
I mean, you
could
say it's not sexy, but...
But, like, look, Lewis Hamilton tries to be a rock star. They keep trying to calm him down.
Well, Lewis Hamilton's another story. But, like, they have Uber Heli in Monaco. Like, you can...
What's Uber Heli?
You can Uber order a helicopter to take you around.
Hey, it's a big city.
I mean, you don't need to... You don't need to romanticize that. I mean, that's crazy. But so anyway, so it looks like he's out. So now, Lawrence Stroll is looking to buy it. Lance Stroll's dad.
Tell me who they are. I don't know who they are.
Lawrence Stroll, like, was, like, the guy behind, I think, like, Tommy Hilfiger, and is worth billions and has, like, the craziest cars, like, you could ever imagine as a racetrack that he built in his backyard. Like, what is it? Mont Tremblant?
Mont Tremblant. Wait,
that's his track.
His?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he has, like, vintage Ferrari, like, race cars, like, crazy stuff. Like, stuff that would make you cry. So he kind of, like, backed his kid into F1. Like, look at these cars.
Okay.
Like, big boy cars.
Oh, I actually just saw a photo of him. Okay, so I see a Enzo FXX, a P34, a Testarossa F40 LM, and I can't tell what's behind him, but that's probably...
And he's got other stuff. So he's
so
like...
those five cars, would you say it's $100 million?
Probably, and he has, like... He has two NART spiders, and he ships one out to LA, and, like, he ships one to LA when he's here to, like, cruise around in it. But when you have two NART spiders, it's, like, pretty much game over, right? So anyway, so his kid wanted to be a racing driver, so he kind of, like, you know, his kid, who would not have been a racing driver if he grew up in the slums of anywhere, is a racing driver.
Sure.
So that's all you need to know about that.
Right.
And so now...
This is not Slumdog Millionaire. This is...
Yeah, this is
the guy who owns the slums and is a billionaire.
So...
I got it.
Now, Force India's up for sale, and he's like, look, I'll buy it, and then my kid gets a ride. You know, then I can call a shot.
But does this kid even do any formula program? Any
he's in Formula
series?
One. He drives for Williams.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's
okay,
literally
okay.
the worst guy in all of Formula One. Okay. But he's in Formula One.
Somebody's bound to be. So it still right. makes him the top 20 best driver in the world.
Nah.
Potentially. You don't think so? You don't think just the fact that you're...
I think there's probably like a handful of guys in like...
Like in DTM or NB probably, or
yeah,
NASCAR.
I mean,
maybe. Maybe. Okay.
But probably still very good.
Formula One... Okay.
Just to be able to get around the
laps. Let me go on a slight rant on Formula One. It's very, very, very specific. You've got to be small. You've got to have really good physical endurance and ability. And you've got to be able to go at 9/10, sometimes 10/10, while...
A lot of times, like 7/10.
While doing calculus.
I don't know about all that, but...
I mean, the amount of adjusting they do while driving, talking to the pits, figuring out strategy, that kind of stuff, while driving.
You don't have to convince me. I love Formula 1. But...
Fine, okay.
I think he... Anyway, so the kid is not great. He's not going to be running circles around, like... Fernando Alonso anytime soon. So anyway, so the dad's rumored going to buy the team.
So he's a backmarker that's still making money because he's still running Formula 1.
Yeah, but he has the lowest salary like in all Formula 1.
Well, but he doesn't care about the salary. And right. two, define just, lowest salary. Like, how much does he get paid?
He gets like a couple hundred grand a year or something like that.
Poor guy.
But I mean, I compared really, to like really what you... All right. So anyway, his dad's going to buy Force India, move Lance to Force India... Which okay. is then going to jettison, I think, Esteban Ocon, they say, is going to go to, like, Renault.
Okay.
But it's just interesting. So then one of the other guys that's up to buy Force India is this guy that I'm also interested in, Michael Story, who owns some, like, energy drink company in the UK. And looks like he would be in Black Label Society with Zach Wilde.
I mean, Black Label Society? I don't know that movie.
He looks like a Hell's Angel. Black
okay,
Label
okay,
Society
okay,
is a
okay, okay.
band.
Oh, see? That's how little I
know. But anyway, he looks like a Hell's Angel.
Okay.
And I think that, like, I hope that he can get that team. Because just, like, seeing that guy, like, roll on a Harley into the pits in Monaco would just unsettle
everybody.
It's like
everybody. Days of Thunder.
It'll just, in Monaco. I feel like all the people with their pinkies out and their goofy white pants and stuff will see that guy and be like, who let this guy in? And I think that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool.
You know?
Upsetting the status quo is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I do agree with that.
If you can't tell, I just... Anything that, like, creates anarchy, I kind of enjoy.
But anarchy for the rich.
Well...
Because you're super bleeding heart when it comes to anything below
1%. He is the rich, though.
I agree. But I'm saying you're not for anarchy below the 1%. You just
want
to create anarchy for
I don't
1%.
Want people to be tortured. But I'm saying if you're, like... if you're a rich guy on your yacht, like, listening to, like, I don't know, some old classical music, and this guy pulls up on his yacht, like, cranking Black Sabbath...
Hey, Black Sabbath's classy.
I think that's
it,
awesome.
It's more likely going to be like Eminem or...
No, dude, he's a...
Cardi B or...
Not him.
No,
what
I'm saying...
Look at this guy.
I'm saying if you really want to upset the guy, you know, sipping his
coffee. Well, then I'll upset myself. Why am I going to upset myself? Why am I going to work my whole life to buy a Formula One team and a yacht so I can be in Monaco listening to Cardi B? If that ever happens, you could push me off my own yacht. No one can rescue me. But can you imagine this guy cruising up with Black Sabbath just cranking... And he's serving, like, bacon cheeseburgers, and everyone's just like, get this guy out of here.
That sounds like
that.
A good party.
Sounds awesome.
That sounds like a pretty good party.
Exactly. It
sounds like a guy who knows how to have a good time.
Look at him. Look up this guy. He looks like a guy that looks like how he knows to have a good time. So, anyway, so that's my... So, I don't know. It's interesting. It's crazy, because Formula One teams don't come up for sale that often. So, it's kind of interesting. This is like my royal wedding. You know, like, when the girl's like, does she wear green, or she wear blue, or... Probably wears white.
See,
if it's a wedding, but
I care less.
But
about
this is like
now.
So fascinating because now you have these billionaires coming out of the woodworks, like competing. It's like cool. It's like billions, but in real life.
This is why I like talking to you because I care about this zero, none whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like I care about the rule changes. I care about them going to 18-inch tires or wheels. I care about them changing aerodynamics and that kind of stuff. Who owns what, where, and why? I so don't.
That's the most interesting part, though.
Is it?
Kinda.
Is it
like you
really?
Said, it's the context, you know?
It is, you're right.
Like Gladiator. The end is only interesting because you know that Joaquin Phoenix, the guy, has been torturing Maximus the whole time, and now he gets a shot to like beat him up. If that was the beginning, you'd be like, I don't care, I don't even know who these guys are. See?
Yeah, okay, I agree with that.
Like, if you just watch a race and you didn't know Senna and Prost, and they just crash each other, you'd be like, this is just dudes crashing. But if you know the history and all this stuff...
Well,
makes it more fun.
Any sport, I don't care if it's soccer, baseball, football, tennis, if you're not rooting for somebody on the field,
doesn't
it's
matter.
Not fun to watch.
Right.
It's boring as hell. Right. If you are cousins with the third to last guy in NASCAR, you're the loudest guy cheering out there because it's context and you know him and it's personal. And when he gets past or when he passes, it's emotional, right? That's every sport.
Right.
But I also don't watch
any sports whatsoever. I'm saying if you want to fully enjoy Formula One, you have to understand the background.
If you want to fully enjoy Formula One, you have to back somebody. You got to pick a team and be a fan.
Well, I don't really
back or pick a driver.
Well, Max. Max.
Max Verstappen. Fine. But that's because you like anarchy and Max is anarchy.
And all the older guys are like scared of him. They like Lewis Hamilton was behind him and they're like, you gotta go by him, Lewis. You gotta
like, I can't pass him.
And he's like, I can't get by this guy. I'm thinking like multiple world champion and he's telling like one thing, if it was me just for optics, I would say like I'm trying. Because to say, like, flat out on the radio that you know the world is hearing, right, like, you I can't say, get I'm by this guy. On it. Like, my tires are shot. Or, like, you come up with an excuse, you know? But just to come out and be like, I cannot get by this guy is crazy.
Yeah, I agree. But you know what? But Formula One drivers are, I'm going to go out there and say it, a bunch of pansies.
Not Max.
They're the show. Not Max. One, they're the show horses.
Max is Schumacher reincarnated. I love Max Verstappen.
Ah, Schumacher?
Schumacher really? Is a monster.
Was he?
Yeah.
Maybe Senna. Schumacher. Not Schumacher. Schumacher was very prim and proper. He's still German.
Yeah, but
Senna,
I mean, he
Senna was the one that was, like, flipping off everybody going past.
No, but I'm just saying in terms of, like, when there's, like, a little gap, like, Max will throw the car down on the inside.
Yeah, that's true.
And most of those guys
that's because he's young and stupid and hasn't been enough crashes yet.
Right.
Once somebody goes, you don't have a career next year because you've damaged 30 cars, he's going to calm down, too.
Nah, they'll never do that. He has calmed down.
He has.
Schumacher broke his leg and was still nuts.
You're right. Schumacher didn't calm down. One season he calmed down because he had to.
I don't think those guys can calm down.
Sure they can. Well, if they can't, they don't last.
If you're really good, you do. If you win. Winning solves everything.
No. See, that's why I don't like Formula One. I think if you're not good on TV, if you're not good with media, if you don't know how to keep your cool when the cameras are pointed at you, it doesn't matter how fast you are.
Like Jenson Button. That's why they said he did so well for so long is because that guy would just crush in like sponsor dinners. Like that guy throw on a tux, look like James Bond. You know?
Right, and he's nice to your wife, and he's nice to the sponsors.
And he remembers your kid's name, and he's all jolly and has a British accent.
Right, that's the business of it.
Yeah.
But that's not sexy.
You just call Jenson Button not sexy? How dare you?
I don't think Jenson Button... I mean, they're all good-looking, fit, young guys. Like, that's not complicated, right? But...
Yeah, but
I don't think anybody English has ever been sexy.
Just James Bond? Are you kidding me?
Fictional character.
James
Bond. I mean, in reality.
Daniel Craig.
Daniel, okay, fine.
I literally cannot debate any longer about sexy men.
All right, fine.
That's all I can do for the week.
Okay.
So what else?
You hit your quota. Car week.
So here's my thing I was going to say. One of the last times I went up in a Lambo that had my name on it was Spencer Burke as my co-pilot, and we rented an Airbnb because we like booked everything last minute and all the hotels were gone. So imagine we have this highlighter green, highlighter yellow, green, depending on when you look at it. Lamborghini Huracan, looks like a race car. Has like this red Pirelli thing on the tires.
Mm-hmm.
Has my name on it, which was cool.
Like literally your name written on the door like a race car.
Yeah.
Cool.
So we drove it up. What?
Where'd you get it?
It was when I worked at Lambo La Jolla.
So okay,
it was
my demo. Okay.
Yeah, it was so not my car.
Okay, so it was the Lamborghini La Jolla car.
Demo.
You're the Lamborghini
was the demo.
Brand manager, right?
Yeah. And we
so
put
you
a
run sales for Lamborghini La Jolla.
Yes.
Okay.
And we put a sports exhaust on it.
Of course you did.
So this thing was loud.
Yeah.
I mean, this car was pretty fun, but it got a lot of attention, which I didn't always like. But
I got pulled over in that car.
Yeah. I mean, you could not get pulled over in that car.
Yeah, it was my fault. It was in Beverly Hills, and I was going way too fast.
Yeah.
I was taking a customer for
that tends to happen, but also that car looked even faster than it actually was going
because it was highlighter
you know
yellow.
I mean? So it was like, and it sounded louder. Like even if
yes.
you're going 60, it looked like you're going 100. So
yes.
if you in fact
it
were going 100,
the buildings,
it looked
yes.
like you were, you know.
Yeah.
So we took that car up on Fuel Run, which was fun. But the funniest part was
Fuel Run is from San Diego. Or is it from LA?
Fuel Run was from Malibu. We left from Malibu. We left from, what is that, Gladstones or something?
Is that another Amy Shackelford shout-out?
Yep.
She owns that too, right? Or runs it?
Double shout-out to Amy.
Yeah, so it's a rally. You pay for it. They hook you up with, like...
Lunch
and hotels, and they take
your
baggage.
Well, no, they don't do the hotels.
It's not like Gold Rush?
Nah. This was just a drive.
Okay, so it's a cruise from LA. Bunch of supercars, hypercars, crazy stuff. To Monterey Car Week.
Correct.
And then usually she takes it to Exhaust.
Oh, yeah, you're right. They do like a second thing now.
Yeah.
I don't think they did all that the year we went.
Oh, okay, okay.
But anyway, so we...
Because Obi used to do that.
Yeah, there's all kinds of different stuff. I think now they do like a fuel run thing when you're actually in Monterey. But we waited until last minute, so we booked an Airbnb. That was hilarious. It was like a... I think it was a one bedroom, or I think Spencer was in the living room. Maybe it was two. I think it was a one bedroom. So anyway, but it's like this little goofy, good location right over by Cannery Row. But it was like, imagine like one of those buildings where like below is carports.
Okay.
Carports, not garages, carports.
Okay.
And then above is like the houses, you know, and there's like maybe like two or three like little.
I'm impressed you were able to get anything last second, because Carway gets sold out months.
There's always something. There's always something.
Yeah, people back.
Unless you try to stay at like Spanish Bay, like somewhere crazy. But so anyway... So we go, and just imagine I've tried to find the picture. I'll try to find it, but imagine the hilarity of, like, a lime green, what looks like a race car. And then, like, next to us was probably, like, a Subaru, or, you know what I mean? It's, like, Monterey normal people that are just, like, kind of weird, cool, old hippie people.
Right.
And then our car is, like, the loudest thing that they've ever heard. Like, in the morning when we have to go out and start it, I actually felt bad, because, like, these people are, like,
because it's an old retiree community.
There's no way that these people... There's no way we're scoring points, you know?
Oh, hell no.
As cool as that car is in L.A.,
it was uncool. They're all about dressing up, nice hats, vintage cars.
Well, they just like wine and like, yeah. You know,
which, by
out.
The way, I love Monterey. Specifically,
Carmel. I love Monterey, too. I don't think they love us.
No. Carmel by the Sea, not during Car Week, is fantastic.
I wonder if this thing will keep going. Find out.
So,
nope.
This is the Thomas Hodges.
Hold on, it stopped.
Stopping the broadcast. Mine didn't stop. Do you have to, like...
Oh, yeah, just go with that one.
Yeah, no kidding.
And you can edit
that
out.
That's why I'm like, hey, dead air. Good job, guy.
You can edit that out. So, anyway, so we, yeah, that was just funny because I just felt bad, you know? I think we love Car Week, but I think those people probably don't love us, right? Like, we raid their little sweet town for a week. They probably, the people that actually live there...
It brings in a lot of money.
Yeah, but if you live there, you're rich, so you don't care.
True.
You know, sure. If you go live in Carmel and you're just like all these goofballs like revving engines and stuff, they probably hate us.
Carmel is very, it's as like Martha's Vineyard.
It's like Bel Air on the water.
No. It's like East Coast.
Yeah, but very I'm just white, talking in terms of like.
Very ritzy. Like you cannot get into 17 Mile Drive unless you A, live there, or B, you're going to Pebble Beach like for dinner or for golf.
I think you can just pay and go on some of it.
I know, but why would you pay to go down street?
Because...
It's like...
Would you pay to go to the Museum of Ice Cream?
No. I don't mean during Car Week. I mean in general.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in general, you can't drive down the street because people are so rich they don't have to let you.
Right. No, it's baller.
It's dumb.
It's baller.
Mind you, I want to live there and have... Like, right. What they do is they have this little badge on the front grill.
So if you spent all your life making all this money to live there and then people are coming in and like... Flying around.
Dude, I grew
like
up in LA. I mean, I can go down any street in Beverly Hills, Bel Air, most of them, other than like Beverly Park or something.
I'd be like, get these people out of my little sweet town, you know? Like Bill Gates has. Bill Gates is a car guy, though, but, you know. Bill Gates is a car guy.
Yeah, sort of.
He was the one that got the 959 in.
One of.
All right, well, it's one of.
But that was more of a baller move than it was like. He was young, he was just throwing money around. Like, I don't consider him like a.
Alright, he's not Henry Ford, take it easy, but he's still cool.
No, I mean like Jay Leno, I mean like Seinfeld, or even, not Tommy Hilfiger, what's his name? The other
Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren.
That guy's garage.
I know.
It's the coolest thing I've ever
I know,
seen.
Those are car guys.
Yeah.
Rich dudes with cars, that doesn't impress me.
Those are all just rich dudes with cars that you just named.
Yes.
Which
I think
one's
the car
not
guys
a
first.
Rich dude.
I think the car guys first.
You think so?
I think... Seinfeld has like one of the earliest 911s made that's like unrestored.
Was that because he loves it or because he just wants to have it because no one else can have it and people will tell cool stories
about
how cool
it
is?
Well, both, but he also drives it. Like he actually loves it for the love of it.
Maybe.
I think Jay Leno he doesn't own one Ferrari. And I don't think he gives a damn about flipping or making value. He's never sold a car in his life. And he likes cars that are interesting. He likes cars that have interesting technology.
Jay Leno
they're ahead
likes
of their
weird
time.
Cars.
He likes weird cars.
He likes a lot of cars that if I had a collection, and he's like, do you want this? I'd be like, not really.
True story. He likes the story behind it.
I bet he's got a couple of Volkswagen buses.
Probably.
He for sure has Volkswagen
Probably.
Buses. I feel like you just get to a point where you have everything and he's just looking for obscure stuff that he doesn't have.
Sure.
You know, if you're like, hey, I made this tricycle in my garage with a, you know, 454.
No, that's not Leno.
Take it.
Leno likes stuff.
He has some pretty weird stuff, dude.
He likes stuff that's like ahead of its time. It was like the first rotary or the first jet car or steam powered from the turn of this last century. The stuff that he has an interesting story behind it and has like a certain pedigree. Like he doesn't have stuff just because it's worth something. He doesn't have stuff just because other people say that it's cool. That's not why he has stuff.
Definitely, because some of his stuff I definitely don't think is cool. But he's
Ralph
cool.
Lauren is the exact opposite of that.
I don't know, man. Ralph Lauren has some cool stuff.
No, my point is Ralph
You don't
Lauren...
think he likes them? The coolest, did you see he did one of his fashion shows?
Yeah, I know.
Around the cars?
I know.
I mean...
His collection was the first collection of the Guggenheim Museum as an art installation.
That's
But cool. I think that when he buys cars, he almost does a survey of the car world and goes, what's the coolest, hottest thing that I have to have? I don't think he has an opinion on
Either
that.
Way. I learned but a I long time cool. ago, you can't... Like, I'd get upset if I would see some, like, goofy kid in, like, a car that I really liked. And be like, I don't even like that car anymore. But then you realize, like, don't be mad at the car because, you know...
True.
Some, like, rich kid in L.A. had his dad buy it for him. Don't be upset. Like, don't stop liking, you know, these
no,
cars.
No, yeah, but I'm talking about...
So even if some, like, rich guy buys it just because it's cool, you can't let that affect, like, liking the cars. Do you know what I mean?
But it does. That's why I have my opinion
But then
on
it gets it starts to get, like, a lot less fun, you know?
That's where my opinion on Lamborghinis comes from. That's why I think the Lamborghini guy is different than the Ferrari guy. And I think that's part of the coolness, though.
Well,
is the different camps.
I don't know.
It's
I
like,
think a lot of that's Ferrari marketing. I don't think neither. Thank you.
If you had to choose, are you a Corvette or a
Literally,
Corvette?
If you gave me a Corvette, I would pick a Corvette. If I had, like, if you're, like, going to give me one,
okay.
I go Corvette, not even close.
Okay.
But I'd much rather have, like, just that money and could go buy a
Whatever.
Million other things.
But somebody's going to hand you a car. You can't sell it. There's no cost.
The Vette, not even close.
Why?
Vipers do one.
Why?
It's almost impossible for me to drive the Viper, like where the steering wheel, even all the way up and everything.
Even the fifth gen?
It's so hard to drive. It's so hard to drive. It's so hard to drive. It just seems like I'm going to probably not make a lot of friends with people that don't buy a purse, but
so?
It just seems to me like just cheap and plasticky.
Yes.
And just like.
Not the fifth gen, but yes.
Just like, ugh.
Okay.
Ugh.
How much of your opinion of it has to do with other people that drive that car?
On that,
and
honestly,
being
zero.
With them.
G-Wagon, 100%. But on that car, I really just don't like that car. I really just don't like it. I like the old one. The old one looked cool.
The second gen.
The original one.
You mean the original
original?
The
original
T-top?
Original, yeah.
The T-top was kind of goofy.
That car looked cool. The blue one with the white stripes, or the red one. That was a cool looking car.
What was the TV show? First gen Viper, and then it transformed into like a cooler looking Viper, and it was like a superhero, like a Knight Rider kind of show.
Transformers?
No. Way before that.
That would seem like the logical answer to that question.
No. It was like literally a Knight Rider style show where the guy drove around in a red T-top first gen Viper, and then he turned into a superhero, and the car would transform into.
I don't know, but given the fact neither of us knows the name of it, obviously that show didn't work out.
I'll put it in.
Can't imagine why that show didn't work out, you know?
None of them worked out.
Sounds like a regular Seinfeld.
The second version of the Knight Rider didn't work out either.
And is that surprising to you?
Honestly, people are.
I hope people got fired.
Hollywood is so good at making stuff you want to watch, I'm always surprised stuff doesn't work.
I'm surprised when stuff does work.
But it works most of the time.
When there's like something like that hot dog movie and they're like made, you know, $80 million.
Okay, so you're talking about Wiener Party?
There's so much.
Not Wiener Party.
I think it might have been.
Sausage Party. But that was a sort of a who's who up and coming actor that wants to do something that's like a pet project. That happens a lot.
Everybody involved in that should get fired and never be allowed to make another movie again. But it's kind of like cars where, like, if you make something, somebody, like,
will
a couple people
right.
out
there's
there
always
will,
a,
like...
There's always the opportunity of a cult classic,
there's enough
right?
people out yes. there yeah, that yeah, yeah. some guy, like, there was... What was it, that car that was at Pebble Beach a couple years ago? And it was, like, I want to say, like, a GTR or something. And, like, there was an Asian guy that, like, rebodied it. Remember?
No.
And they were going to make, like, 10 of them.
You're talking about Ken Okuyama, who's the former design head for Pininfarina.
Yes.
What was that car that he made? It was code
45 or something.
No, there's two of them. There's code 0, I think, and code 45. One of them was a rebodied 599 Ferrari.
This wasn't that. Maybe a 458 or something? Or?
And then the second one was a rebodied, a different Ferrari.
But that, I would think, like...
His stuff doesn't work.
I would think, who wants that? I guarantee there was two guys, like, when you went to the stand-up Pebble Beach, there were some guys like, oh, very interesting. I was like...
I don't care.
If he sold three, though, he knocked it out of the park.
Like, okay, you know Ferraris, right?
A little bit.
Okay. He was a design head.
Compared to who? The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills? Hold or on. Compared to, like, a guy that
he
works
was
at
the
Ferrari?
Design head of Pininfarina during the 612, 430, Enzo design era.
All right, what's your point?
Are
I
those
love
not
all those.
The ugliest fucking cars they ever made?
No way.
Pardon my language.
No way.
The 612?
The Enzo?
Is ugly.
Some people might think you're ugly, Stan.
They are right to their opinion, but nobody designed
Dude,
me and
Enzo,
paid for it.
Enzo is awesome.
It's
Enzo's
a cool car.
Awesome.
It's a cool car, but it's like, here's my opinion on the Enzo. And I was there, I was working for Ferrari Auto Gallery in service.
You're looking
when
back
first came out.
Now that you've seen LaFerrari and stuff like that. But
Hold
at
on.
The time, that
no.
thing looked like a space shuttle.
No, hear me out. Enzo feels like they kicked the designer out of the room and the aerodynamicists just did what they're going to do.
Well, that's pretty much everything now.
Well, hold on. But check this out. So, follow my chronology here.
Is it as pretty as like short wheelbase spiders from
the
60s?
Stop,
no.
Stop. Follow my chronology here.
I know what you're saying.
Ken Okuyama designs these ugly pieces of shit, in my opinion. Hold on.
Which I don't agree with.
Fine.
Enzo's are awesome.
The Enzo's out, right? Jim Glickenhaus
right.
buys an Enzo,
right. I know.
Pays Pininfarina $4 million
mm-hmm.
to rebody it into the P45. The next, Ken Okuyama doesn't work there anymore, the next design language of Ferrari is the 458, which looks just like the P45.
Is this like a conspiracy thing?
No, it's not a conspiracy thing. They literally did a better job than he did, and he got fired for it. That's my opinion.
Well, so that makes, if you did a bad job, you got fired, it makes sense.
But you're backing, but what I'm saying is that...
I think the Enzo's rad.
I think it's got a presence.
You don't think 430s are cool?
I think the headlights are too small. I think from the front they look
dude,
goofy. Profile they look
you
cool.
You are so picky.
Profile they look cool. Rear they look cool. From the front end they look like this. They look squinty. The headlights are
like
way too thin.
430s are cool.
They're cool cars.
You're like
well,
critiquing a supermodel for having weird toenails to make our girl analogy.
If you are a supermodel, I'm allowed to critique you for
I don't
weird
even,
toenails.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
If you are literally get paid for showing your body and when your nipples is higher than the other, I'm okay with saying that. If you're a librarian or a school teacher or anything else, then maybe critiquing your toenails is inappropriate. Whatever. But if you're a supermodel, you better be... a supermodel.
So we agree across the board humans should have level nipples.
Yes. And cars headlights are their eyes and it's relevant to how they look.
I still think 430s and Enzos are pretty
the,
cool.
The Morgan Arrow.
Terrible. That's ridiculous.
Right? Headlights.
Those are ridiculous.
Right? That's it. It ruins the car. The profile's cool. The back is kind of cool. The front, you look at it, you go, nope, not buying it.
Speaking of cars.
Would never buy it.
Since this has just turned into an episode of cars we hate. One car that drives me nuts too. Other than the G-Wagon, because I go on for the hours.
I like the G-Wagon.
Oh, God.
But I would get a 2005
G500, oh my God.
Lift it a little bit, bigger tires. I would put a roof rack on it, some lights, and do it like off-road style.
I think when you remember like in like 2005 when it was really cool to wear like MMA clothing, and you'd see guys walking down the street wearing like literally like
yes.
UFC fighter shorts.
Yes, it's stupid.
And would just go to like 24 Hour Fitness and get on the elliptical.
Yes.
To me, that's like G-Wagon. It's like you have like a car that was designed like for the army.
Yes.
And you're
designed to have machine guns mounted on it.
So you can putt around Calabasas. Like.
Yeah, I agree.
To go get lip injection. It just,
to me,
it's like,
I think
so ridiculous.
I think the best example of why you're right.
That's the worst car of all time.
Is no. The worst car of all
that
time
car makes me,
is the G65 or the G55 or the G.
Which
any
is just
AMG
a more
G-Wagon? It's like
right.
you made it rougher, which is worse.
Right.
You made the engine and the transmission don't work with the way the car drives, so
right.
it's all lurchy and shit.
Right.
You ruined it. Like, you took an off-road vehicle and tried to turn it into a sports car, and that's dumb.
Well, what I was going to say
but
was...
But as an off-road vehicle, it's great.
It's great, but it's never... Yeah. But the
but
what I was
going to
say... But
they never get dirty, I
get
it.
Yeah,
I
what I was going to say is, what's that little car? It's not a T-Rex, but that little car you see everybody driving down Sunset. It's like that little three-wheel slingshot.
Slingshots, yeah.
And everyone, like...
What's your problem with slingshots?
Everything.
They're stupid. I would never drive
everything one. Everything is my problem with slingshots.
But what's your point? How does that compare to...
People's like fly around like they're driving Formula One cars. And I'm just like, it's just getting on my nerves.
It's more fun to drive a slow car fast than a fast car slow.
It's more fun. Yes. But I'm just saying, like,
it's more fun to
you
drive
should
a
calm
car
down
fast.
Your little goofy car that looks like it was made of Legos.
Be honest.
And they're all like flying around Sunset.
I know this
being...
is a podcast and people will hear this, but nobody's actually listening. Is it not fun to drive a Miata in the canyons? Have you ever driven a Miata on the track or in the canyon?
I mean, I try to do everything I can to avoid ever getting in a Miata. But I get your point about fast car slow. But I'm just, it's like, you know when you're driving and you see some guy like fly by you in a Corolla? And yes. You're just like, what are you doing? Like, what are you, just calm down. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, on the freeway I agree. And by the way, when I was like 18 through, or 16 through 29, that was me. But... like, I did stupid stuff in cars that shouldn't have been doing it. But I understand your point. My point
Slingshot, G-Wagon, let's just get
rid
of
it. There are cars that don't make any sense. An S-Class AMG, to me, doesn't make sense. AMG is sporty. It's
I get kind of what you're saying. If you could pick one least favorite car. Like, what least favorite car that's not... don't pick some obscure... but, what? Like, something that you see around LA that you're just like, man, I wish, like, I wish that they would pass a law and all those people would have to walk.
Jeep... Wrangler Unlimited on 26s.
That's very specific. Jeeps are kind of cool though.
Jeeps
kind of
are
a
cool.
Fun summer. Like,
yes,
I mean,
if they're
Jeep.
Off-roaded out, yes. If they're on 26s and you couldn't go off-road and you ruined everything about the car and it's not even a mall crawler at that point, it's just a poser mobile, that's it for me.
Yeah, but basically a G-Wagon's like a triple the price version of what you just said.
Yes.
So can you imagine my...
yes.
My... disdain for that car.
So what's your example? Worst car do you see driving around?
Well, to anybody who knows me knows that I hate G-Wagons.
Okay.
So that would be my obvious first pick.
Okay.
If I had to pick a second one, I'll probably say, like, I've seen a lot of people driving, like, scumbags in Ghiblis. Ghiblis seem to bring out the worst.
Well, boy, I'm glad I just returned mine.
Ghiblis seem to bring out the worst in people. You know what I mean? Because that's the person that's like, this is, in case you didn't know, this is a Ferrari. And you're like, that's a Ghibli, brother. Like, that's a guy with something to prove, you know? That's a guy that, like, is trying to, like, drive way too fast to show you how fast his Ghibli is.
Yeah.
You know?
True.
And then, like, colliding into, like, a minivan. You know what I mean? The guy that's in a Veyron is like, I don't have to go fast. Like, everybody knows, you know?
The guy that's in a Veyron is afraid to go fast, afraid to put miles on it.
But I'm just saying, he's like, we all know this goes. It's like... I've been in cars before. We'll be in some crazy fast car.
Yeah.
Like, whatever, a Lambo. And some kid in a Mustang will come up and rev his engine.
Right. And you're like, yeah, it's cool. You can have it. Don't worry about
it. You're like, just go, bud. Yeah. Just, you know what I mean? Just, we'll let you have this one.
Yeah. Put it on Facebook. You beat a Lambo. It's fine.
It's kind of like that.
Please don't hit a crowd of people or hop a curb.
But that's only because you made me pick a second one. But I, like...
so you're just doubling down on G-Wagon.
With me, G-Wagon, it's like the NBA. There's LeBron.
What about the 4x4 squared?
Everybody else. Well, I thought that's the same. Does that not fall into the same category? I think I hate I actually hate the G-Wagon even more than the squared.
Okay.
You know? To me, the squared is like Kevin Durant,
so like
and LeBron's the G-Wagon.
To me, what I hate is the G-Wagon with 26 dubs on it or whatever.
Well, you're just like coming to a more extreme version of...
No, I just hate people that don't get it. And they ruin the car. Including Mercedes when they made it an AMG version. So when Mercedes made the G-Wagon AMG version, they ruined it. I think a regular G-Wagon that you don't even have to take it off-road. They're fine, but you have to consider it. It's like a Hummer H1.
The other thing that's stupid about the G-Wagon...
it's a military vehicle.
The other thing
that's cool about
stupid
it.
About it is it's a big car, but if you... like, the driver's seat...
oh, no, it's tiny.
It's like sitting in a Corolla.
No, it's super narrow.
Like, why do I have this huge car?
It's super narrow.
Like, an Escalade, I can, like, move around and it's comfy.
This guy.
But Escalade. I'm like, any SUV.
Dude.
There should be a reasonable expectation. Any SUV.
Get a Range Rover.
Any SUV. You should have room.
Best
to get into an SUV.
If you like SUVs, the best daily driver ever made is a Range Rover.
Range Rovers are great.
Cayennes
are great.
Yeah.
Escalades are great.
Nope.
Audi SUVs are great.
Escalade, you're either got shoes that are way too clean that you're afraid to get dirty. You're a stripper, or it's a commercial vehicle that's moving people around.
How are you gonna smack? But my point is, if you're gonna buy an SUV, you should be able to fit a G-Wagon on top of everything else. You have this big ass car, and you can't even stretch your legs out.
All right. On that note, what are we going to come back with on the next podcast? Are we going to do the top 16?
Yeah, if we can find the picture of the bracket.
We're going to do the top 16 bracket shootout of motorsports. I think you guys are going to like it. We're going to compare like Indy to F1 to Rallycross, whatever. I think it's going to be super. Catch you guys next time.
G-Wagons.